In both houses, the Republicans did better than their counterparts in that house. The Assembly Republicans scored the highest of on average of any of our of the conferences. They had numerous members who received 100 overall. They were the only conference to achieve that. So obviously, the Assembly Republicans are very responsive to our issues. In the Senate side, the Republicans scored better than their Democratic counterparts. But when looking at it over year and cycle over cycle. The Senate Republicans scored lower than we've seen in years past.
Yeah, which I think we're going to talk about in a moment. But first, I want to ask you about the Assembly Republicans. Their positions most closely mirror yours, but they're the least powerful conference. Is that a problem in the dynamics of getting things passed in Albany?
I think the problem is the dynamics of Albany, that minority conferences have so little say in the process. And that being what it is, there's no reason to punish Assembly Republicans for that. And they are very responsive to our issues, and we believe responsive to the issues that are important to their constituencies, and their communities. So we're happy to give them high grades, and we're happy to encourage voters to recognize those grades and factor that in when voting.
Now, there's some key issues I wanted to ask you about that were approved this year. One of them is raising the minimum wage to $15 downstate, $13.50 upstate. I think a number of Senate Republicans, if not all of them, voted for that.
Every
right?
Senate Republican voted for that.
So that lowered their scores, I guess,
book. That's the main reason we saw a significantly lower score this cycle than in years past, comparing year over year. It was that minimum wage vote in the budget.
A lot of people think that the minimum wage raising it is a good idea. People who work for McDonald's should get more money. So what do you have against it?
Well, we're not against anyone's wages being raised, but it's very difficult to mandate prosperity, and I think history bears that out, particularly when you take into account upstate New York's economy. The Comptroller report just recently, the past couple of weeks, measured job growth since the Great Recession. New York City and its environs doing fairly well. Upstate, not as much. We've actually seen regions, the Mohawk Valley, the Southern Tier, the North Country, lose jobs since the Great Recession.
Yeah. It's a tale of two states, right?
Very much so, economically speaking.
And so do you think that the businesses can't afford to pay even $13.50 in a few years as a minimum
I think that's
wage?
A very – it's not just what it's – the actual number. It's how fast it's going to go up over the next several years. We're looking at a 70-cent a year increase for the next several years.
That's per hour.
Per hour. So in your employee
labor
cost. When
you add that up, it's quite a bit, right?
It's going to be quite a bit. And in upstate New York, we're relying upon light manufacturing, we're relying upon tourism, we're relying upon agriculture and small business and retail. Those are the industries that this really harms.
Now, paid family leave, employees are going to finance that. You and I, the way the law is written, are going to have to put money in order to get any paid family leave that we might want. But your group opposes it. So it's not going to cost businesses anything. Why would you be against that?
I wouldn't say we opposed it outright. We were opposed to what the governor proposed. We thought a 12-week program was just too expansive. The other states in the country that have done paid family leave, California, New Jersey of note, their program was not 12 weeks. And then our second concern touches upon what you just said, and it looks forward. Right now, I believe the Department of Labor is estimating that the employee deduction to pay for paid family leave is going to be around $1.30, maybe $1.40. That's already changed once. We don't think that's enough to sustain the scope of this program in the long term. So what happens? Is this benefit that's the most expansive in the nation going to be passed on to businesses, to employers, and to taxpayers as another mandate?